This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the world championships on the Big Island.
Welcome on to this edition of the Kona Edge. I am Brad Brown. It is a Wednesday and we've got another cool story to share with you today. Going to be touching base with Suzanne Davis to talk a little bit about her journey to the Big Islands. And I've got some exciting news to share with you as well. I've been talking about it on my email newsletter that goes out on a weekly basis here on the Kona Edge. And I've been working pretty hard behind the scenes to make this happen. And it's something that I really want to focus on big time in 2018. And the good news is I've managed to tie it down. So I can officially share the news with you. Next week, Thursday, that's the 14th of December, I'm going to be doing something, and we did it a while ago when we first started the Kona Edge, and we haven't done it again, and the response was great then, and I'm sure it's going to be even better now. So imagine the opportunity of sitting down with a phenomenal athlete, a professional athlete, and you getting the opportunity to ask the questions you want to ask. Well, that's exactly what we're going to be doing. You can be part. I say you can be part of this. I need you to be part of this because I don't want to drive the discussion. Obviously, I have questions that I ask, but I get tons of questions via email, and this is your opportunity. Doesn't come along often, but it's your opportunity to be part of this. So next week, Thursday, the 14th of August, I'm going to be catching up with Kyle Buckingham. He's a South African professional triathlete. He's based out in Boulder, Colorado, but he's back in South Africa at the moment on a bit of a vacation. And Kyle is going to be joining me, and we're going to be doing this live. So it's, yes, I'm going to be there. Kyle's going to be there, but we need you to be there so you can come on and ask questions. And you can do it either via the chat system in the software that we use, so you can type your question and I'll ask it. If you're feeling brave enough, you can turn your microphone on. We'll click you on and you can ask Kyle a question, or you can flick your video on as well. We'd love to see you and be part of this thing. So think about sitting around a table with a top athlete. I mean, Kyle's won 2 Ironman titles. He was the fastest age grouper on the Big Island a few years ago, and he's also an Ironman 70.3 world champion as far as age grouper goes. So he's raced as an age grouper. He's made the step up to being a pro. He raced on the Big Island this year as well. Results not particularly going the way he would have liked, but he's had some fantastic performances. He had a great run on the Big Island this year. And he's made some big changes to the way he's been training and the way he's been doing things, particularly when it comes to his nutrition. He's been racing on a ketogenic diet. So we're going to get into that and pretty much anything else you want to get into. I don't want to be the one driving this thing. I need you to be part of it. So here's your chance. Spots are limited. It is free to join us live. What you can do is head over to this URL. It's I'm calling it In Transition with Carl Buckingham. So if you head over to thekonaedge.com/transition, you can sign up right there. Get in on the action and don't waste time. You've got to get in there pretty quickly because, as I said, seats are limited in the software that we're using. So, yeah, do it now. As soon as you get the, there's a link in the show notes to this episode of the Kona Edge on the podcast player that you're listening to as well. You can, just get in. I would suggest do it right now. That's thekonaedge.com/transition. That's where you can get all those details. A massive thank you as well to the sponsor of this edition of the Kona Edge. It's brought to you by Health IQ. And if you've never heard of Health IQ, a couple of weeks ago they were featured on a couple of websites that are pretty influential. TechCrunch.com, heard of them? Yep, I'm sure you have. CNBC, Forbes.com as well did a feature on them. Fantastic organization. And what Health IQ does is they partner with established life insurance companies to offer policies to triathletes, marathon runners, cyclists, and just other health conscious people in general, with rates that are on average between 4 and 33% lower than you could traditionally expect. So yeah, I would seriously suggest checking them out. Health IQ is built on a data-driven approach to underwriting that seeks to reward people for their health behavior rather than penalizing people for red flags. For example, Health IQ won't automatically punish you for family history. Sometimes as well on life insurance policies, your low resting heart rate gets flagged. And we all know, as fit athletes, a low resting heart rate is not necessarily a bad thing. Health IQ won't punish you for that. So it is great, great service and offering that they've got. If you'd like to discover how much they can save you on your life insurance, all you need to do is head over to healthiq.com/Kona. That's healthiq.com/Kona. Alternatively, you can text healthiq, all one word, that's healthiq, to 44222, and I'll send you the details straight back. Alternatively, you can also click in the show notes to this episode of the Kona Edge, or on your favorite podcast player. Just scroll down. The link is right there. That's healthiq.com/Kona. We head to California now here on the Kona Edge to catch up with Suzanne Davis. Suzanne, welcome onto the podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Suzanne, I'm super excited to talk to you because you've got a ton of experience on the Big Island. You've just got back from number 7.
Yes. Kona is absolutely my favorite race destination. One, because it's Hawaii and it's gorgeous, but there's just, you know, a different element about that race. And so it just, the energy level at the finish line, the energy level before the gun goes off, is like no other. I would call it the Super Bowl of Ironmans. And even though there's so many other races out there, they just don't produce that kind of drama, I guess, at the beginning and the end of a race.
And there's something about it, too, that once it gets under your skin and gets into your system, it's pretty hard to forget.
It is. It's, well, you go there and, you know, you're racing against the best of the best, and everyone there is primed to have their perfect day. And then you throw in, you know, the beautiful weather, you know, the bath water to swim in where you don't need a wetsuit, you got fish to look at. And then you go out on the highway of the Queen K, and it's you, it's all of these amazing fit athletes, and then it's you against the black hot lava, the sun, and the wind. And it's relentless, and it's there for you all day to work with and work against. And I think that's why it is the world championships, and I'm so happy to move it around, because you know, you have something to bring out of your own self each year because it's unique. Even though I've done the race multiple times, every year I learn something new, or I'm faced with a new challenge or another breakthrough that my body, you know, magically did on the day.
Yeah, it is a special place, and I'm with you. I'm also glad they don't move it around. I think the 70.3 World Champs is a great opportunity to take the sport to different parts of the world. But Kona's Kona, and if I say the word Kona, what do you think?
I think Ironman. That and coffee. So, yeah, I think it is awesome, and I'm so glad, you know, that the sport was founded and then they kept it there. That does make it special. I almost wonder if other sports, when it comes to the Olympics, if they find the perfect venue, that they would just repeat that venue, not only because they have to build a huge building, but it would give the athletes an edge to understand what they really are facing, you know, in the elements of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. As far as your sort of journey into the sport, Suzanne, how did you first get involved in the sport of triathlon?
I got into triathlon really in Olympic distance, and I did it competitively after college. I was recruited for the national team and trained for the 2000 Olympics, and really I loved the speed and I loved traveling around the world, and I did see one Ironman was in college, and it happened to be in Kona, and I thought, wow, I could never focus for that long. I can only focus for 2 hours in a race, and these people are amazing, but I can't imagine training all day, every day on the bike and the run like they do for that distance. But I then 3 years later, I took off with the sport and went into work, and then I had a child, and I put on a lot of weight with my first baby, and I was in sales, and I couldn't get home, to raise my first child. So I quit my job, and a neighbor had asked me to coach him for an Ironman. I started training along with clients that I was coaching for Boston or their first Ironman, and I was getting so fit. And really, I just tried a half Ironman, and to my surprise, I did really well at it, and I qualified for Kona without even the intention. And I thought, well, people try their life to qualify for Kona. I have to go. It just seemed like a standard in the sport. If you qualified, you had to experience. And I did. So in 2 years after I had my first baby, I went to Kona, and I ended up third on the state in Kona in my age group, and was 11th amateur overall. So I fell in love with the sport and Kona probably that day, because, I didn't have any expectations going into it except for, wow, I'm here and I need to just enjoy this experience. And then I got a lot more out of it. And it's turned into now, 12 years of racing Ironman. So,
if I had said that to you during your sort of shorter, during the Olympic distance sort of stuff, what would you have said to me?
I said, you're crazy, you're nuts. That would be so boring to ride a bike for 5 hours. That's what I would have said. Now I'm doing it like every weekend, and I love it, and I love the people I get to chat with on the bike for that long, and it's a big part of your community, and your social life.
Suzanne, looking back now, which do you prefer? Do you prefer the longer stuff, or did you enjoy the high intensity, shorter stuff?
I think that's what has kept me sharp over all of these years. I enjoy both equally. I think the Ironman distance I like the most because mentally and physically it pulls something out of me that you can't get in a short race. There's just not time for it mentally and physically to even go to that depth. Just stamina or dehydration or just endurance. But I think it's very important for Ironman athletes to keep the shorter ones in, because the speed will help your strength endurance to hold the speed in an environment like Kona where there's a world championships. You have to still have that gear to push to a 10K pace or be able to run a really fast half marathon to really run a strong marathon off the bike.
You've subsequently had a couple more children as well, so it's become a huge family affair. How do you keep that juggle of keeping a household up with kids? And I've got three myself, so I know how busy that is, and I'm nowhere close as far as an athlete to the levels that you're racing at. How difficult is it, and what's the secret to keeping that balancing act going?
Two secrets. You have to have an amazing spouse. So my husband is very supportive. He's not a competitor anymore. When we first met, he did do his first Ironman. But his body doesn't have the healthy joints like mine does. And then also he's just very enthusiastic with bringing the kids into it and making it, if we choose to go to a race, making it a family vacation or making it a one-on-one trip. Kona is also another great race because it's the only time my husband and I still get our one-on-one trip, which is so important, as a couple to have once you have children. And then my kids, I think Ironman, when they're younger and they don't really understand time as much, it's a little bit easier to squeeze it in when they're at school. I'm fortunate that I'm a coach and I can mix in my training sometimes with athletes, or just I have that flexible schedule around my kids' schooling and my own job. So, but you have to be very disciplined. I like my children at very early, which is also a blessing. When they go to bed at 8 or 9 o'clock, mom is right there behind them. And because I get up at 5 in the morning and I do get in one of my workouts before the family is up. And that's the key, the second key, I think, as an athlete, to not be so selfish with your time that it interrupts everyone's time. And so from 5 to 7, if I get an hour and a half session, that didn't affect any of them. I can still then have breakfast with them, get them off to school, or, you know, have dinner with them at night. I'm not training, I guess, around meal times. And that is how I have balanced it, because meal time together is usually quality time.
If my math is correct, your eldest is around 11 now, if I'm correct?
He's 13.
13.
He's going to be 14 actually, in a month. But yeah, I had him in 2003.
Okay, my math is terrible. I had 2003 and I couldn't do the math. That was terrible.
That's okay.
As they say, there's three types of people in this world: those that can count and those that can't. And we know which camp I'm in. Is it becoming harder as they get older to keep that balance?
Yes, it is a little bit, because now they notice like how long I'm going to be gone. So if I'm out on a bike ride on a Saturday and you have a brick and you have to ride, you know, 3 or 4 hours and then run 30 minutes or an hour off your bike, you know, even though that only sounds like 4 or 5 hours with stoplights and, you know, filling your bottles and everything, it's a 6-hour day. And so that's a pretty big chunk. And so if you don't get out early, you know, you're not getting home until after lunchtime, and then you don't have a day to play with them or take them to their sport. So that's what's becoming more challenging. I think it still can be done, because I can shift that long brick workout maybe to a midweek day, you know, and move my schedule around with coaching and take Wednesday, let's say, as a long day. So it can be done. It's just, you know, how much do you want to, yeah, shift things and make it a priority?
Do they realize how good mom is as an athlete?
I think they are just getting to realize that in the last year or two. You know, I would say they just think I always win, which is not true, but they just go, oh, mom, you know, and now it's kind of ironic. Like, they think I'm always in the top, which I hope to be, but if I don't win it, they go, well, why didn't you win? You know, or why were you only third, or why were you 12th, you know? And so, but that is good in retrospect, because I'm also teaching them, look, I don't always have the greatest day, and I still love the event and the sport just as much, and I still have a good attitude and expect that greatness will come, but just the next time. And I think that's important for them to see, because I think if you do win a lot, it's great, but if you don't have those setbacks, it's easy to take advantage of it or just lose perspective of how hard it is to get where you really are.
You are aware that you are condemning them to a sport of a life of wanting to do Ironman when they're adults. I grew up in a house with a father who was an ultramarathoner, and I just grew up and I wanted to be an ultramarathoner. So you know you are turning your kids into Ironman in the years to come.
I hope so. I'm making my son go out for track, because he hasn't wanted to be a runner yet, and he's a natural. He's gone from a couch to a 5K giving run and run 6:15 pace. So I said, honey, you have to try running. I think in the back of his mind, so I have saved two of my really nice bicycles, my Treks, for him, because, you know, I've got the equipment if he wants to go on it. He's already 2 inches taller than me, and he's only 13.
Suzanne, talk to me about, you mentioned sometimes things don't go according to plan, and this last year in Kona wasn't your best race on the Big Island. You've had some incredible performances. How do you deal with those sort of disappointments where things don't sometimes happen the way you want them to?
You know, I'm much better at dealing with it now, you know, in my 40s. In my 20s, I couldn't have said that. But I have such a different perspective for it. And that's where I'm saying, like, sometimes, like in Kona this year, you know, the elements are always tough. And you go in there and you have this idea and this dream of having a perfect race. And the day started out great. You know, my swim felt smooth. I knew I was on good feet. I had to sprint a bit to recapture groups that were going through the water, and we were swimming through the men that were breaking us up. And I came out and I knew, I saw my family and my husband, and they said I had like a minute lead. And then, yeah, I strained like an abdominal muscle. And as I stood up on the bike, you know, to go into the wind or into the hills, it just became a sharp, knife pain side ache. And I thought, oh boy, this is not what I had planned on. But what you have to do is just, you know, change your mindset and go, okay, what's plan B? But you have to say, well, I still have to take in my nutrition. I still have to take in the sodium, and maybe I just need to change my pedal stroke to either an easier gear or a harder gear. And you try all of those things from mile to mile to adapt to the situation, and just and the biggest thing is controlling your head to not go into negative self-talk. And then it's also great because in the World Championships, you see other people either flying by you or also suffering. And so it's just being realistic. I mean, you know, I don't know, like, I'm getting lost in my train of thought here, but I'm sorry.
No, it's also, I mean, what I wanted to ask with it is, it's at times like that when things don't necessarily go according to plan that you learn the biggest lessons about yourself. When you're winning and things are feeling good, it's almost easy, but it builds character in times when things are hard and tough. What did you learn about yourself at Kona this year?
I've learned to adapt, and I've learned to stay positive and stay in the moment, because every mile can change in Kona or in any race. And I've learned to appreciate being there, racing in the elements, and also just suffering alongside the other people. You know, when you're suffering, when I was suffering on the run, you know, you are so hot. Like, all I could think about was getting to the next aid station to cool the core temperature down. My heart rate was high and my pace wasn't matching it. So I was thinking, my core temperature is really high. So you just would think, okay, if I dump all of these wet ice sponges all over my head each mile, maybe my core temperature will come down, my nutrition will kick in, and the next mile will be better. And that's what you have to do with your mindset and your head. And then you can tell yourself, okay, through this aid station, I'm going to shuffle instead of walk, or you're going to, you know, just keep on plan. And that's where all of the training comes in. When you get to Kona, you know, all of the training should have experienced, you know, some discomfort or some setbacks, or you couldn't run off the bike one day because you didn't drink enough or eat enough. And so you have to play all that back. And so I've learned to really, I think, mentally and physically go into the well in some of my training. So when it happens out on the Queen K, I don't give up and I'm not going to quit. And I know that I'm going to make it to the finish line. Just might not be quite as fast, but it's a world championship. So you have to bring out the best that you can, that your body can give you on that day. And that's what I've learned and love about Kona. And you see people doing that for up to the 7-hour mark. And it's just incredible, that inner fight. I love it.
What stops you from quitting, particularly in a race like this one that you've just had, where things aren't going your way, you're struggling, you're in a bit of pain. It would be easy just to throw in the towel. What stops you from quitting?
I think just my life. You know, I've gone through a lot of different challenges. I can personally say I've never quit. I think quitting, as that slogan says, you know, pain is temporary, quitting is forever. And I don't think I could live with that mindset. Unless my body was in danger, I would not quit. Because then it's just an ego thing, I personally believe. But that's me. You know, I have to sleep at night knowing, hey, that was just, you know, a muscular, you know, deficiency. It wasn't like I was pulling a muscle or ripping one or breaking a bone. Then, of course, I would stop. But I don't think I can live with quitting. You know, there's so many times in life, whether it was going for a job and you didn't get it or you failed at, you know, meeting your sales goal. And then I'd say the, my biggest motivator was my husband had a heart attack 1 year, a couple years ago. And, you know, he had to learn to walk again. And if I would have quit in that moment and said, oh, it's all over, you know, where would you be? And my faith is too strong to know that there's something more out there.
So then what's been the biggest thing you've had to overcome in your triathlon career?
I had to overcome injury. You know, I had a fantastic year in 2010. I broke the 35 to 39 world record, and then I got picked up on the Timex team and went back, and in 2011, you know, I bettered my time again and I broke the 40-year-old world record. And then I got injured, and that was really hard. I'd never been injured in my career, knock on wood. And I strained my Achilles, and I had to take off for 6 months of running completely. And I didn't compete for 8 months. And then I wanted to go back to Kona. So, I had to just test it out, but I went into a race to qualify then for 2013 after taking the year off, and I luckily qualified at Cozumel and then came back to Kona. And this is where quitting and faith comes in. You know, after that year of struggling, I came back and I won 8 out of 8 races, won the national championship, and finally was first in Kona on the stage. And all of that, after being injured and coming back that same year, my husband, like I said, had a heart attack, and a best friend's husband was hit by a bus and killed. And all of that happened in that year. And I would say personally, my mind was not at all into the sport or racing, but I decided to keep doing it because I had trained with the person who was killed. And I, my husband said, you need to do this for your sanity, because, you know, I was always, doing everything in that year to kind of bring back others or lift others up. And at the same time, I was lifted up. And so that's where I go. There's a mental and a physical balance to the sport. And if you don't overanalyze it and make it all just about you, you probably could produce some amazing results you didn't even know you physically had. And that's what my biggest comeback, I think, was realizing.
I love that. That is amazing. Suzanne, as far as staying fresh in the sport, you've been around triathlon for a long, long time. How do you stay motivated to chase the next goal and to wake up, as you say, early in the morning to go out and do a training session? We see it often. Age groupers come in, they burst onto the scene. 1 or 2 seasons later, no one sees them again. How have you stayed motivated and fresh and rejuvenated year after year?
I think coaching people really keeps that fresh and motivated, because I'm always getting new people who have an exciting new goal, and I see that new excitement level in them. And I love to share that. And so, I think it's a win-win that way. Also, I think I was just born with a lot of energy. And so I do start every week. I've been teaching a spin class at the YMCA for 15 years. And again, it's those everyday people at the YMCA that motivate me as an athlete, and also keep me in check that, you know, I have a gift and I'm lucky to have it. And I'm lucky to still be able to use it. And then I also, third, think that I have a lot to share and share that gift and share my resources and hopefully share some of my inspiration. And I think that's what keeps it fresh and keeps it going. And it's the people you surround yourself with. And I've just been fortunate as well to be pretty healthy. I'm always trying to pull something new out of my body or a new goal. And I think that's just partly my personality and what drives me, though. And that's why triathlon is so great. You have a different race, you know, in any city. And I'm fortunate to live in San Diego. And so I can race whenever against amazing world-class runners or cyclists or swimmers and triathletes. And so it's probably a little bit easier for me to stay fresh and motivated, because if you go outside where I live, you see at least 50 cyclists on the road or runners, and it's just contagious.
How do you switch off from the sport? What's your escape?
I love to cook. Probably why I love to do triathlon, because then I can eat. But I love to cook and I love kids. And so I do volunteer with reading and math at my daughter's school. And it's easy for me to turn off. I have a lot of friends. I like to go out for coffee. I love to go on walks. Some people, I don't like to tell them I'm a triathlete when I meet them, so they'll actually ask me to go for a walk with their dog. Otherwise, they get a little intimidated that I wouldn't even want to do that. But I love the water. So I love going boogie boarding. I hope to take up surfing with my son in the next year. And so it's pretty easy as a mom, and you know, as a dad, it's easy to stay busy. I mean, if I'm not training or working, I'm driving like a taxi cab. all of my children's events. And so, you know, to squeeze in a coffee or a play date for myself, it's pretty easy to do.
As far as the role of rest within a busy lifestyle, as you say, I mean, you're training a lot. You've got the three kids. You've got a household to run. Explain to me the role of rest and recovery in what you do.
I think rest and recovery is the most important, and especially as you age. You know, after 40, you know, and you probably do have more demands with your time, with work and your family. But if you can get into a set schedule where you get really good sleep, and I'm talking 8 hours, you know, I'll go to bed at 9 and get up at 5, like I said. And there are days, I think, like at least once a week where I need a 10-hour night, like, and my body will tell or dictate that. And I will just go to bed at 8:30 and then I'll wake up, you know, naturally at 6:30 or 7. And if a person can't do that because of their job or their family, it's going to show in their results of their training and their racing. Because you just can't, at this level, when you're trying for the world championships, and you're pushing your body to the max with speed and all of the miles, you need the rest. And then I do a lot of body work. I probably get a massage every 10 days, and I foam roll every day. If that's my number one tip, it's, you know, go buy a foam roller, roll out your IT bands, roll out your quads, roll out your lower back. And if you do that for even like 5 minutes and after your training, it's a great way to stretch without probably putting any muscles into danger from not being warmed up. I'm a true advocate of that.
Talk to me about getting older. I've also recently turned 40, and it's weird. Just all of a sudden, things start happening to your body that you don't really realize or you've never really thought of. The aging process, it can be cruel. How are you adapting to it, and how how are you changing things the way you do things around triathlon as you get older?
Yes, things definitely start to change after 40, 42 for me. But what I have had to adapt is the distance in training. My long runs now, if I'm going into a marathon, I don't run over 17 or 18 miles. I think that I've got enough years in my body that it understands what 26 is, and I really believe in doubling up back-to-back days to do that. So you could run 26 miles in 2 days, and your body, as you know, an older person, can recover from it twice as fast. I don't think your muscles, as you get older, can handle the jarring, the pounding, and then the little microfiber tears that happen to recover and bounce back, like in your 30s. And I've really seen that even too with speed work. You still need to do the speed work, but I need to put in an extra rest day in between my sessions. So if I do a hard bike on Monday, and I used to do some hard running, let's say on Wednesday, now I wait till Thursday. So it's just adapting your program a little bit and listening to your body. You know, you can have a coach, and I always tell my athletes, look, I'm going to put this on paper, but you know yourself the best. If you're waking up and you're going, oh, my hamstring kind of hurts, I'm a little nervous to go run track, you should listen to that warning sign and communicate with a text message. Hey, I don't know, my hammy hurts. Do you think I should go do this? Or, you know, I would obviously say, no, let's just wait another day, because that's going to make or break, you know, your health and then your longevity in the sport.
Suzanne, what's the secret to qualifying for Kona? You've raced 7 times. What's the secret? Is there a secret?
The secret is you got to be good at all 3 sports. No, the secret really is if you're talented in, I would say, one of the sports, mainly biking or running, I think, and you get a good program and a good coaching and a good training partner, that's the key. You know, there's so much training that goes into an Ironman, and if it's not fun, I simply would not do it. I've trained too much on my own in my younger years and in my 20s. And I couldn't go off the program that I was doing. I think it's really important to find a group of people where you can do your long intervals with or your long rides or runs with. And then even your competitive track workouts and swim workouts. And then it's just getting into a routine and then really understanding what works for you. And I think going to people who have qualified for Kona, there is an edge to that. Like, I have a better understanding of what it takes to qualify for Kona. And then once you get to Kona, how is that Ironman going to differ from the one that you even qualified at? You know, it's a different race. And knowing those differences just from personal experience, you can learn so much. When I first got into the sport, I asked Paula Newby-Fraser and Makili Jones, what did you eat when you did this bike ride and this run? And you guys, you know, were so successful at it. So ask questions to people who have been successful and find out what they're doing, and then try it in your training. And if it works, it's going to work on race day.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And funny you say that, Zan, because I think that's one of the reasons this podcast is becoming as successful as it is because people want to learn from people who've done what they're trying to do, and this is a great platform to do it.
Yes. And I would say, you know, your podcast is great for that. And, you know, some people are intimidated to ask, but I'm always very open to give information, you know, and so are other people. I mean, it's not like we're hiding the secret ingredients, but you have to try all the secret ingredients because they don't work for every person. You know, what I may eat does not work for, you know, another person, but they might, you know, have another bar or another goo. Some people can only handle liquid calories. And again, that is only found out in training. Training doesn't lie. I tell people, you know, if you want to predict if you can qualify for a race or run a great marathon, you know, off the bike, your training doesn't lie. You know, your heart rate doesn't lie. Your paces don't lie. And so I'd say the ticket is to always gauge your races, you know, set an A goal, a B goal, and a C goal. And then, you know, was that training leading up to that, you know, a success, or was it a failure, or why do you think it failed? And ask your coach and ask yourself, well, did I really follow it? Or did I really kind of skip those intervals? Or did I kind of change this up? Or did I get no sleep every day because I couldn't do it all? All of those things are part of the mix to becoming successful and making it to Kona.
Absolutely. Well, Suzanne, it's been great catching up. I look forward to talking about the individual disciplines, but we'll save that for another day. Thanks for your time today on the Kona Edge.
All right. Thank you.
It's time for today's Coach's Corner. If you're an athlete looking for a coach, it doesn't matter where you are in the world, we've got access to some of the best triathlon and Ironman coaches around. If you'd like to find out more, hook up with one of our coaches, whether you need help with a swim, bike, run, or nutrition, all you have to do is head over to thekonaedge.com/coaching. You can get all the details there. Check out all the coaches that we've got access to. And don't forget, too, if you are a coach and you would like to get access to the podcast and get a bit of a plug on the podcast, all you have to do is head over to that same URL, okay? It's thekonaedge.com/coaching. Scroll down to the bottom of the page and you can get all the details there. So that's thekonaedge.com/coaching. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Kona Edge, and thank you very much to Suzanne Davis as well, sharing her story with us. We're back again tomorrow. We're going to be talking some swimming with Tracy Markham on the next podcast. Before I head out, another five-star iTunes review coming in overnight. Thank you so much to Rawman ZA, my countryman or woman. I'm guessing it's countryman because it's Rawman ZA, saying great and easy. Thanks, Brad. Aish, it's such a South Africanism, Aish. I love listening to your podcast when I get a chance. Keep it up. Enjoy the interviews and the different advice. Well, Rawman ZA, thank you so much for that. You can leave us a review as well. And it's pretty simple. All you need to do is head over to iTunes, open up iTunes, just click on the Kona Edge and then hit leave a review. It'll take a couple of minutes and it's literally like our virtual tip jar. It just helps us get in front of more triathletes just like you. Don't forget as well, get in there right now if you haven't done it yet and booked your spot for our In Transition with Kyle Buckingham. All you need to do is head over to thekonaedge.com/transition and you can get all of the details there. And a massive thank you to the sponsor of this podcast. It was brought to you by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people get special life insurance rates. Simply head over to healthiq.com/Kona and you can learn more, or simply text the word Health IQ. That's all one word, Health IQ, to 44222, and I'll send you all the details back. Until tomorrow, from myself, Brad Brown, cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of The Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for The Kona Edge.